Thank you, Matt. Good morning. It is a true pleasure and a privilege to be with you today. And it's been my privilege to serve you for about 30 years now here in the association. I've had the privilege of, in the last few months, working with some of your leadership and getting to know them a little better and getting to know Matt better and trying to help through the transition. And I know that sometimes transitions transist longer than you want them to, but that happens. When God is at work, getting you ready for what He's got next, sometimes it takes a little longer to make things right before the right time comes. So just be looking forward to what God has in store, because He's got big things ahead for you, for TKK Baptist Church. And so I want to thank you for the opportunity to work with you. I hope you've enjoyed the Independence Holiday. We have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to celebrate here in America. We have an incredible amount of freedom, probably more than we recognize, so much that we take for granted. And I think it's right for us to celebrate the freedoms that God has given us in this great land. The holiday season, anytime you have some time off, it's always good to hang out with family and friends. Here in South Carolina, we enjoy the privilege of having fireworks everywhere and at all hours of the night. I enjoyed yesterday spending a little bit of time with my daughter and grandbabies and laying in the living room floor and playing Paw Patrol and Candyland. And had a good time doing that, and I hope that you enjoyed your time as well. But we all know, if we're believers, we know that our true freedom is in Christ, right? It is through Him and His benevolence that we have the political freedoms that we have in this country. But it is true that anyone who knows Jesus, whether they be here in this free land or in the Middle East, in a very persecuted situation, there's an incredible amount of freedom in Christ, because He gives us the freedom from our own sin, the freedom to walk with Him, the freedom of knowing that we have a place eternally with Him. And that Jesus is enough. We have a mission team in Amman, Jordan right now. And I appreciate you. I'm going to chase a rabbit here. I appreciate you praying for Romania. Several years ago, we had a partnership with Romania and worked with Joseph Simon, who was the pastor of the Romanian Union, the Hungarian-speaking union in Romania. And had a great opportunity for several years to work with them and send mission teams. And he was here with his family a few times, and we got to know him. Great opportunity when you partner like that in missions. But we have a mission team in Amman, Jordan right now, working with a small Baptist church of about 80 to 100 people who are having this incredible ministry to those who are fleeing persecution from Iraq and from Syria and other areas. And last year, the pastor that's leading the group this year took some folks in they took food boxes into some of the refugees, because they can't work there by law. They can't work in Jordan if they're a refugee. And so they kind of have to depend on others to take care of them, help them out. And so this church has developed a genuine ministry of these folks. They have food boxes, but they also have crafts, where they develop crafts and sell those to get income. And this mission team went, and they were visiting different ones, and they went into this home, and it's a very small apartment. No furniture whatsoever. Mats on the floor. The only food they had in the house was the food that was in that food box that they brought with them. And they asked the man, "What else can we do for you?" And he said, "I have a roof over my head. I have food. I have Jesus. What else is there? And that struck me when I heard that testimony about what it means to know Jesus, the confidence we have in Him. And so I want to bring a message to you today from Romans chapter 8. If you want to open your Bibles there, Romans 8, verses 28 through 30. We're going to look at what it means to live and exist and walk with Christ and the confidence that we have in Him. It's a word of encouragement, I think, for all of us who know Jesus because He has the ability, as we will see, to make things right. Romans 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know, hang on to that, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Our God is able. I think most believers know the first part of this passage. You know, for we know that God works all things together for good. Most people who quote it don't quote the rest of it. It kind of ends there. So I want to focus on that piece first. I want us to understand that God is able to work all things together for good. We all experience different hardships in life, suffering, illness, disappointments, broken relationships, sin in our own life, sin in others that affects us, tragedy, heartache. All of that is there. We enjoy the privilege and the freedoms in this great land of all kinds of luxury, but we also have those problems and heartaches and burdens that we all bear. Everybody has a story. Everybody has baggage. Every one of us could talk about difficulties that we've had to go through or expect to go through. But the thing I want us to begin with this morning is that our God is able to take all of that and all the good that we enjoy and mix it together and bring good out of it. If you've read the end of the book, you know that at the end, all things are good, right? God has a way of taking all of history and turning it into something that He wants. God is able to make all things good. He's, after all, He's the God who spoke and creation existed. He's the one who took all of the elements of the periodic table and combined them together to form man out of the dust of the earth. And then, amazingly, breathe life into him. He's the one who, throughout the Old Testament, the history of the Israelite people, God brought them out of all these different circumstances to a place where He established them as His own people, His own nation. And out of that people, He raised up Himself. He came from heaven, came to earth, became a man such as you and me, experienced the same kinds of problems and struggles that you and I do, and then suffered, was tortured, was killed on a terrible cross, and then rose from the dead so that you and I could have life eternal. This God, who's able to do all these things, He is able to take all the circumstances of your life, all the disappointments, all the problems, all the suffering, all the cancer, all the heart disease, all of the issues that you carry and have a burden upon you. He can take all of that and mix it all together and somehow bring good out of it. It occurs to me it's kind of like persimmon pudding. How many of you know about persimmon pudding? There's a few. Okay. Can you imagine anything that would taste better than persimmon pudding? Persimmon pudding is one of those delicacies that my wife's family traditionally has at Thanksgiving and Christmas. When being a Texan, you know, I thought everything good was in Texas until I met my wife and found out it's in the Carolinas. And when I came the first holiday season and they started talking about persimmon pudding, my mouth kind of drew up, you know, and I'm going, persimmon pudding? What in the world? Until I put that first piece in my mouth. Now that's delectable. It's one of the best tasting little desserts that you'll ever have. If you've never tasted persimmon pudding, you need to find somebody that knows how to do it. Now, I don't know what her mom put in that stuff. I mean, I know it had persimmons. And I guess it had flour and probably some sugar and, you know, cinnamon. And I don't know what all else went into it. But she knew how to mix it up just right, put it in the oven, bake it. And when it comes out, it is awesome. God knows how to take everything in your life and mix it together and bring good out of it. Now, there's a problem. You'll notice the rest of the verse. It says, to those who love him, to those called according to his promise. Now, for we know that God works everything together for good to those who love him, to those called according to his purpose. You see, the promise of God is limited. It is conditional. It is for those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. God is not obligated to work everything together for good to everybody. Now, he's willing to do that, but that's not what he does. He works everything to good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I want you to look at this very closely because it's important that we understand what he's saying here. He's saying that God has promised those who love him, who are called to his purpose, that he is working for them, for their good. I want you to hang on to that. But I also want you to understand what it means to love him. What does it mean? Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Again, over in John 14:21, he says, he who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. In Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Obviously, there's a decision that he's calling us to make. It's more than just saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. There's a decision that has to be made. Jesus goes on when asked, what is the greatest commandment? In Luke 10:27, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Who can do that? I can't. I don't have the capacity to do that. You know, and I confess to you today, I can't do that. I love God, but I can't say that I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I can't say that I do that. It's a high call. It's a high demand. It's a hard word. But I want us to notice what the rest of the verse says. In the Bible, love is always defined by action. It's not mere belief. It's not just saying that we believe in Jesus. That's not what Jesus is calling us to here. In fact, James 2:19 tells us that even the demons believe and shudder. It's not just belief. It's loving God is not being in love with the idea of God. It's not loving the idea that maybe He's given His Son for the world so that we can all be saved. No, love is defined by the action that it produces. And so the rest of the verse says, to those called according to His purpose. If you want to know if you love God, you can't judge your love by fulfilling all the commandments or loving God with all your heart, because all of us fall short. The Pharisees tried their best to create a system in which they crossed every jot and tittle. You know, they had this legalistic system that they thought they had completed, and so they were right with God. And Jesus let them know, no, you're not right with God at all. You're whitewashed sepulchers, is what He called them. You can't fulfill all the law and please God. We don't have the ability to do that. That's not what He's called us to here. What He's saying is that those who love God are called to His purpose. They've heard His call and responded to His voice. Let me show you a little video here that kind of describes what we're talking about. Jesus said in John 10:27-28, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God is able to work all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. That means those who are responding to His voice, seeking to follow Him. The question is, do you know what His voice sounds like? Jesus said, if you're His, You know his voice. And if you know his voice and are responding to his call, then you're his. You see, if your life is defined by your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're his. If the direction that your life is going in, whether it be personally or professionally or just on your own time, if that direction of your life somehow is reflected in your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're his. If you don't know what his voice sounds like, there's a problem. Are you responding to his call? Is your life defined by your relationship with him? Do people know you by that relationship? You see, if you can answer yes to those questions, then you're assured that you belong to him. You may be terrible at memorizing scripture, as I am. You may not be very good at fulfilling the commands of Christ in your life right now. It may be that there's a lot that you're working on. But if you're moving toward him, if you're listening to his voice, if you're seeking to please him, if you want to go in that direction, if the desire of your heart is to know him better, then you're his. You see, we have this blessed assurance. The title of my sermon is Blessed Assurance, because we who know him walk in that assurance that we belong to him and that he is working in our lives and that we know that God works all things together for good for us because we love him and are seeking to follow him. Verse 29:30 says that God is at work transforming us, making things good for us. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Now here's the other good news about this passage. You know, Jesus told us that if we love him, we're going to obey his commands. And all of us know that no matter how much we try, no matter how much we really invest in trying to obey his commands, we're going to fall short at somewhere along the way. We're human, we're frail, we're fragile, we're sinners. We're going to fall short. We can't do it perfectly. But the good news is, it's not up to us. You see, God is the one who's at work in us to transform us into an image like his Son. He's the one who's doing the work of making us justified. Jesus died for us so that we would be justified in God's eyes. And now he is working to make us more like him every day. Every circumstance, every experience that we have in life, whether it be good or bad, God is using to transform us more into the image and likeness of his Son. If we're listening to his voice and following him, he is doing the work. Now, I love that. I just love the fact that God's at work in me. And it's really all up to him to make me who he wants me to be. Now, I don't understand what it means when it says that he foreknew us, those who would be his. I think I understand a little bit about the difference between how we view history linearly and the way God views history all at the same time. Because, you see, God created time. Time didn't exist until God spoke creation into being. God holds time between his hands. All of the history of mankind is between his hands. And when he looks at time, he sees it all at the same time. The very moment that that you were born and the moment that you die, he sees all at the same time. He says every moment in between, all at the same time. It's all present. He is always present. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. And he's omnipresent, always present. So when he told Moses, my name is I Am, that's what he was saying. I am the God who is present. So God could see into the future and see who would be his before time began. Does that make sense? Doesn't make any sense to me. But that's the best my little brain can come up with. And so when he looked into time and looked into to the population of all of creation, he knew who was going to be his, whose hearts turned to him, whose ears listened to his voice. And so those people, he decided he was going to predestine. Those who responded to him would be predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, God decided that he wanted to create a family. And those who would respond to him would be his family. And so, he's the one who's doing the work. From the beginning of time, he predestined that we who hear him would be conformed to the image of his son. And that we might become that Jesus might become the firstborn among many brethren in his family. And that these who heard would be predestined and he would call them by name to follow him. And those who followed him, he would justify through the sacrifice of his son. And those who he justified, he will glorify. From beginning to end, it's all about God. And we can trust that. We can trust him when things are good, and we can trust him when things are not so good. We can trust him when someone breaks into our house and says, leave. Leave this country or die. And so you gather the things that you can carry, you and your family, and you travel hundreds of miles to get to that safe place in Jordan where you can have a place to stay out of the weather and at least have enough to eat and be thankful because you have Jesus. If you're a Christian, God is working for you. He's working on your behalf. You know you are a Christian if you hear his voice and respond to his call and seek to follow him. The only question today is, do your ears hear his voice? Is your heart inclined to him? If you're a believer, you can say as Paul did to the Philippians, for I am confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you and will perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to bring it all out on the end the way it needs to be. If you're not a Christian, if you don't know his voice, Paul tells us in Romans 10:9-10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the insinuation there is that Jesus is my Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and you're not sure what his voice sounds like, and you're not responding to him, this church has a very great opportunity. It's called Next Steps, right? And after the service is over, you can go meet with some folks and they'll talk to you and share with you and pray with you so that you can know that you're saved. If you are saved, it's my prayer that you will submit every moment of your life as best you can to following Jesus, and that your ear is listening to His voice so that you won't miss a step. If you'll notice in the video, it was interesting, when He first began to call, many of the sheep raised their heads and they looked. They listened. A little bit the rest of them did. And then over in the back on the left-hand side over here, a few started coming. You see that? And then a whole lot of the others came. But there was one black sheep right up there at the top that kind of held back. He's kind of waiting his turn, I guess, looking to see if this is really good stuff or not. Or maybe his heel was full of green stuff that he was really enjoying. Or maybe he wasn't quite right to just, you know, he was saying, okay, yeah, I know, I got to be there, but, you know, I'm enjoying my thing. He held back, but finally he did come. They all came at the voice that they heard. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey today. You may be like one of those first few sheep that are always ready, always responding, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, whatever, I'm coming, here I am. You might be like the majority of the sheep, like the majority of us, and say, Lord, yes, sir, I'll be there. I'm not quick to the jump, but I'll be there. And you might be like that black sheep, just holding back, doing your thing. Maybe there's something in your past, maybe you had a bad experience in church, maybe you had parents that were too hard on you, Maybe you had a pastor that disappointed you. I don't know. And you're kind of holding back and hesitant. And knowing that you need to come and hearing the voice calling your name. And I know I need to be there, but, you know, there's just so much. I promise you, when you respond, Jesus will make it right. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the blessed assurance that we have as Your people, that we can walk in faith and trust that You've got our back, that You are working all the things that we experience to Your good in our lives, that we can trust You to make it turn out right. And so, Lord, we praise You for that and just thank You for that precious privilege. And Lord, for those who are here today who may not know You, who haven't heard Your voice, I pray that You give them ears to hear, a heart inclined to You, and the faith to step forward and let You be Lord and Savior, finally. God, we praise You because You love us. You sacrifice so much for us, and You do so much good in us. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.